It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, ISIS released a second execution video yesterday. We'll talk to a foreign policy expert about how the United States could respond.
First, the race for governor is swinging into high gear in Wisconsin, and the biggest issue at play for Governor Scott Walker and Democratic challenger Mary Burke is jobs.
Scott Walker ran his last campaign with a promise of creating 250,000 jobs in the state in his first term. He's probably not going to meet that goal. Said yesterday he's not going to issue another jobs goal for a potential second term.
That hasn't stopped him from promoting the growth that Wisconsin has seen during his first term. According to a recent ad from the Walker campaign, Wisconsin ranks third in the Midwest for job growth.
Mary Burke, on the other hand, is telling voters that the state hasn't seen enough growth during Walker's time in office. She's using her experience as a businesswoman as a qualification for growing the state's economy. In a recent ad from her campaign, she claimed that Wisconsin ranks dead last for job creation.
So the question is, who's right? Is Wisconsin third or dead last in the Midwest for job growth?
Here with us now to help fact check is Jessie Apoyan. She's a reporter for the Capital Times. Jessie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start things out by checking out each of the ads in turn. We'll start with the one from the Mary Burke campaign.
He made a pledge.
250,000 new jobs by the end of our first term in office.
And asked us to hold him to it.
Is this a campaign promise? Something you want to be held to?
Absolutely.
Today, Wisconsin is dead last in Midwest job growth. 10th out of 10.
Wisconsin lags behind most of the country when it comes to job growth.
And those 250,000 jobs? Not even close. Broken promises? Dead last in jobs. Scott Walker's not working for you.
An ad from the Mary Burke campaign. Now we'll turn to Governor Walker's campaign ad.
Hi, I'm Scott Walker. Well, the latest job numbers are in, and Wisconsin created more private sector jobs than Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio, and Illinois. That means we rank third in the Midwest. Our opponent can try and mislead you and criticize the Wisconsin comeback. But that doesn't change the fact that we're moving Wisconsin forward. We won't stop until everyone who wants a job can find a job.
All right, Jesse, one ad says we're last in the Midwest. One ad says we're third in the Midwest. They can't both be right, can they?
Oddly enough, they kind of can. It seems like the only thing that these two agree on in these ads is what the definition of the Midwest is. But oddly enough, they are not necessarily wrong, either one of them. They're both using different sets of data coming from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Scott Walker's ad is using a monthly count, and Mary Burke's ad is using a quarterly count.
And it's a matter of which measure you choose and where you set the start and end point in a way, isn't that?
Exactly, it is. Governor Walker himself has said before that the quarterly count is the gold standard. It's the one that he encourages people to use when counting his 250,000 job pledge. He's used a number of different statistics over his time in office, though. He's used the monthly count that he's using now. He's used numbers from the Philly Fed. In the meantime, Mary Burke is using that gold standard. So the difference is the monthly count comes out more frequently, but it's less reliable. The quarterly count takes a little bit longer to come out, but it gives a steadier, more accurate picture of what's going on.
So that monthly report you said is more unreliable. How much data is it using, or how much of the overall picture, I guess, does it represent?
Sure. So the monthly count is an estimate based on a survey of about 3.5% of the state's employers. The quarterly count, I believe, goes to about 96%, so it's a little more complete.
But the tricky thing in a political environment where we in the media, the candidates almost fetishize these jobs reports, the quarterly report, we have to wait to get.
We do. We don't have to wait much longer for the next one. It's coming out in September. But because of that, the one that Mary Burke is using is a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So Scott Walker's not wrong to say he's got the latest numbers.
Right. But the latest numbers, they come out fast, but they may not tell us as much. And those are subject usually, as I recall, to revisions over the next couple months afterward.
They are, yep. Yeah. It does take a few months to solidify what comes out from that. And, you know, from month to month, you can have a lot of changes. It's a little more volatile.
Well, I don't want to get too philosophical here, but when we look at two ads drawing from different data, coming to different conclusions, what is truth?
That's an excellent question. I've looked at both a little bit. PolitiFact has also looked at both. They didn't give much help. They give Governor Walker's claim a mostly true rating and Mary Burke's a true. So I guess if you want to give her a little edge on that. The end game here, though, is maybe not to give too much credit or blame to the governor in any case for how much effect that that person has on the job creation in the state.
Right. That's an issue people have been bringing out since Governor Walker's initial pledge to create that many jobs. How much ability does a governor have to make jobs happen in the private sector? What have you looked at on there?
So talking to a couple of economists, I think the general consensus is the governor doesn't have a huge impact necessarily on the most current job numbers. That person can be an advocate for the business climate in the state, and to the extent that the legislature is willing to cooperate, the governor can even influence policy a little bit, but those policies take a while to show their effect. Meanwhile, the state economy is driven a lot more by what's going on nationally, what's going on globally, the whims of consumers, even the weather.
And yet it seems like the campaigns have agreed, and a lot of voters probably too, that jobs and the economy of Wisconsin are the big issue. This is the voting issue, whether or not the governor has that much to do with it.
It absolutely is. The most recent Marquette poll shows us that these ads are maybe even affecting the way voters are looking at the job picture in the state. From July to August, the number of voters or the percentage of registered voters who said that the state is lagging in job growth went up about 5%. So it's about half of registered voters who think that. But at the same time, they can't really agree on one candidate who might have the answer to that. They were split evenly between Governor Walker and Mary Burke on which candidate as governor would do better at creating jobs.
So when you ask people who they're going to vote for, they seem to be split really evenly. And you say there's the same split there in who people think would do a better job on the deciding issue for them.
Right, which I guess is not a surprise.
So what it keeps coming back to is this is a close election, it sounds like.
This is an incredibly close election. We've got differences between more, likely voters are favoring Mary Burke, registered voters are favoring Governor Walker, but it's all within the margin of error. It's all within a couple percentage points.
From all these different statistics, the quarterly census and the monthlies in particular, when you talk to economists about these things, did they give a sense that there was an overall picture of how Wisconsin is doing in the economic recovery?
Sure. And it, once again, it varies a little bit. In terms of the most recent months, yes, Wisconsin has had a sizable percentage increase compared to other states. But looking over the terms that Governor Walker has been in office, starting, I think, the quarter before he took office, Wisconsin is lagging, not just in the Midwest, but throughout the nation, sitting in about 35th place, I want to say, for that.
And you, as you just mentioned, the Marquette poll, do I have this right? There's a growing perception, a slowly growing perception that the jobs are lagging in Wisconsin?
Yes, that's right.
So what do you look at next? What things that the governor and his opponent are claiming are you trying to evaluate now when it comes to jobs and the economy?
Well, I mean, we'll certainly be looking at those new quarterly numbers when they come out later this month. I think that's going to be a huge indication of the broader picture. Like I said, that those numbers paint a more stable picture of what's going on. They've also each released plans on what they would do. Governor Walker just said recently he wouldn't make that same jobs pledge in a second term. And Mary Burke's got a plan that touches a lot on the rural economies and what she would do for that. So I think they're going to continue to be pressed on the specifics of those plans that they've released.
And as we see ads either touting positive performance or attacking negative performance, does anybody have a sense, as we look at the Marquette poll over time, that it's moving the needle, that it's changing the way anybody thinks of one candidate or the other?
In a small way, it might be, yes, but probably not a ton necessarily. Like I said, while more people do think that the state is lagging, that probably indicates that they're listening to Mary Burke's ad, but it doesn't necessarily swing that support a whole lot toward then thinking that she would be the candidate to do that. At the same time, the numbers of voters who think that the state is doing better is also going down. So you would think in conjunction with that, their opinion of the governor might also be on its way down.
We're talking to Jessie Apoyan. She's a reporter for the Capital Times, talking about Governor Scott Walker's claim that Wisconsin ranks third in the Midwest when it comes to job growth. His Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, says it ranks last. And our guest says, depending on which set of data you look at, they're both kind of right.
And we'd like to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. Governor Walker's numbers are a monthly count and Mary Burke's quarterly. Which numbers do you trust more? And how do you think Wisconsin is doing compared with other states in the Midwest? Is job growth, do you think, going to be the most important factor when you vote this fall? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're back with Jesse O'Poyan. She's a reporter for the Capital Times, and we're talking about the dueling ads in the race for governor. Governor Walker's claim that Wisconsin ranks third in the Midwest for job growth. Democratic challenger Mary Burke says it ranks dead last, and depending on which data you use, which report, they both have a case to make.
And we'd like to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Are jobs the big issue here in the midterm election? Is that going to decide your vote for governor? Let us know what you think. And do you have particular confidence in either candidate to lead the Wisconsin economy? Why is that? Why do you choose one over the other? 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to Bruce with us in Madison. Bruce, hi.
Hi. I just have a brief comment for you. Governor Walker's pledge to create $250,000 jobs didn't come out of the clear blue. That's a number that an economist who I heard on public radio suggested would be Wisconsin would gain over 4 years in a normal economic recovery. We haven't had a normal economic recovery, but I'd suggest that Governor Walker really can't take any credit for creating any jobs.
Bruce, thanks for the call. And that's one thing we haven't gotten into as much so far, Jesse. Apart from the job growth and where we rank in the Midwest, the governor's promise creating 250,000 jobs, as Bruce was saying, that might have could have happened by natural growth in a healthy economy. But that is a big part of ads directed at him, including the ad we listened to earlier from the Burke campaign.
It is, yeah. And he has been asked about it recently. Of course, the ad that she's put up is playing a clip of him saying that, yes, absolutely, he wants to be held to that promise for 250,000 jobs. But more recently, he said, you know, hey, I made a bold promise. I wanted to set our sights high. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily regret that, even if we don't make it. And he doesn't think that voters are going to hold that against him.
Is this a theme you think we'll see coming back again and again in Mary Burke's ads between now and November?
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's too good to take a promise that someone has made and has failed to make good on, regardless of what factors are at play in meeting that promise. That's something that she can continue to use.
Bruce, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Rick with us in Kenosha. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think of this?
Well, there was a claim made by Mr. Obama, if I recall, during the stimulus debate of his first term, that if we didn't pass the stimulus, that unemployment would see 10%. Congress passed the stimulus, plus, if I remember correctly, another 100 bill or so beyond that. And yet unemployment still went to 10%. What does this say about politicians of any stripe making these claims? And what does it say about voters that buy into it? I mean, to me, she touched on this earlier, that the governor of a state this size cannot do a whole lot in the context of an economy, national economy, that is just sputtering. So, like, what's the point of any of this?
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. It's a dangerous game for politicians of any party, Jesse, putting concrete numbers on what they're going to accomplish.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, a governor may not have that much of an effect on how many jobs the state actually creates, especially in the private sector. So, yes, it's a dangerous game to try to set a concrete number.
Do you see, we'll get back to jobs and the economy, do you see any other issue coming to the forefront? I mean, obviously we can be surprised, but is there anything percolating out there that you think would be as big a deal between now and Election Day as the jobs issue?
I don't think anything bigger, no. I mean, the same things continue to come up. The John Doe cases have been talked about, but I don't think that's going to change anyone's opinion necessarily one way or another. You know, things like education, women's health, those are things that people talk about. But I think jobs is really the driving issue here.
Thanks a lot for the call, Rick. We'll go now to Luke with us in Fremont. Luke, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you think about all this?
Well, I just wanted to throw a comment out there. I'm a carpenter from the Fox Valley area, Appleton, Oshkosh, and I've been working for about 10 years there at this company, and it's been our busiest last year and a half since I started. We haven't been able to keep up with demand. We've doubled the size of our company in the last 2 years or last year and a half. And it seems like that's, I mean, all the lumber companies, all the contractors have a hard time finding people to do the work. There's just so much out there for new construction and new housing. So it's there's no end in sight, really. They're all predicting that next year is going to be just as crazy.
Luke, congratulations for you and your business. Do you chalk this up to a general recovery? Do you think it's something specific that's happening in Wisconsin, maybe something the governor has done?
I like the governor, so I tend to just think that some of his policies work towards that, but I guess I can't say that anything he's done specifically helps the construction industry, so it might just be pent-up aggression or pent-up building from the last, you know, couple years where people weren't building. But I guess I have an issue when I hear people say that they can't find jobs or that there's a hard time getting jobs. There may not be the job you want to get, but there is jobs available. You might just have to work somewhere you don't want to for a while before you can, you know, get the experience to move on and do something that you'd like to do.
Luke, thanks a lot for the call and sharing your perspective there. Luke's seeing signs of growth in his local economy and in his line of work, but he's careful to distinguish. He says he supports the governor in general, but doesn't think you can solidly connect the dots necessarily between the good news he sees and what the governor does.
Sure, and you know, we may well see more signs of growth come out in the next quarterly report, or we may not, but I mean, it is encouraging to hear a personal story like that.
I wonder if the ads are already written around that quarterly report. Either way, one side ready with the attack ad, one side ready to crow if the numbers are good.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're thinking about it.
All right, back to our callers now. We've got John with us in Brookfield. John, hi. Are you there, John? No, I don't think John's there. We'll try Stephanie now in Sharon. Stephanie, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Yes, I have a question about the data. I'm curious, the jobs that have been claimed to be added to Wisconsin, in what sector, in what job sector would they be, and what income brackets?
Oh, do those monthly and quarterly reports dig down that deep? I'm just not sure.
To be honest, I think in the quarterly ones do. I think the monthly ones do too. I don't have the data in front of me right now, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics would have that.
Okay. Thanks. That's something we can look at in a future show, I think, Stephanie. And that's something that hasn't come up that much, the more nuanced discussion. We've heard, in fact, on this show yesterday from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy with their annual report trying to figure out, okay, when you've got one job added, is it a minimum wage job? Is it a higher paying job? Do you think the political debate will get that complicated, or are we just going to be looking at raw numbers of jobs here?
It's really hard to get that nuanced and add when you've got a couple seconds to make three or four points. And you know, the ads may cite the sources that'll give you that kind of a nuanced answer, but it's not something we're going to see probably.
Looks like we've got John in Brookfield back on the line. John, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Thank you for getting me back on again. It was a cell phone tower issue. Uh-oh. The numbers that Mary Burke is putting out, I feel are disingenuous because the first quarter that she starts measuring with were actually Doyle's numbers, because that's where the quarters come back from. And when you add to it the fact that Scott Walker had to fight himself through two elections, the job growth that he tried to promise is hard to meet when he's got one arm behind his back because he lost almost a year with the second recall. I really feel that a good measure of growth would be to go after his second election and to say, what has he done since then? But on top of that, you have to think, why would people want to come to the state of Wisconsin with jobs, with businesses, when they see this kind of hate going on between Democrats and Republicans?
Gotcha, John. Thanks for the call. So part of it is, where do you draw that starting line when we measure this in the ads?
And that's a really good question. And depending on which data you're looking at, that can make a huge difference. Although the economists that I did talk to have generally agreed, starting at the fourth quarter of 2010 and going until the most recent fourth quarter is a fairly reliable estimate.
Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking to Jesse Apoyan of the Capital Times about dueling ads in the race for governor of Wisconsin.